It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you along with our European correspondent, Karan.
Hey, guys.
And Karan, who has had his elbow heal a little bit from the last time that we podded. But I think you will have to keep the cast on till the next Champions League match day, Karan. At least match day 5. Before it gets any better. In the meantime, we are here to talk about a fairly uneventful match day 4. If you discount a couple of games, one of which involved a German and an Italian team, and another which involved an English and a Dutch team. We saw an incredible game between Dortmund and Inter Milan. Karan, classic Inter Milan, allowing Dortmund to come back from 2 goals down and win the game.
Pretty much, I think it's got an Inter Milan template written all over it. I think the problem for them is that they just do not have the depth in their squad to basically, you know, go at it on two fronts, because you can see they don't have the depth of some of the other teams in this competition, and it's showing, because they're pretty much playing catch up to Juventus in the league, and in the Champions League, I guess they're a bit overwhelmed by the kind of oppositions that they're coming up against. But we will discuss more in detail how this group could kind of, you know, throw up a few surprises.
Yes, because I mean, Inter Milan incidentally missed a bit of a chance, because if they had even drawn this game, then the group could have been very tight in the middle, or if they had won it, then theirs and Dortmund's positions would have been exactly reversed, which is why this group remains tight, because this group is currently led by a certain FC Barcelona, but they are in no way sureties to progress from this group the way things stand. The other game, Karan, was the one that we were talking about, was a 4-4 thriller between Chelsea and Ajax. The little children going at each other?
Pretty much, you could say that. I think it was more a case of probably a whole bunch of kids on one hell of a sugar rush. I mean, it was really difficult to figure out if it was two teams that were really good or two teams that were equally bad. But, you know, as a neutral, you know, it's not a bad thing to experience such comedic ecstasies at times.
And especially for 4-4 thrillers where one team allows another to overcome a 3-goal deficit. I mean, we're not really used to that, Karan. We haven't seen too many of them in our own history, right?
True. We have. Let's not probably, you know, go that far. But I'll tell you one thing about this particular group. It's pretty interesting, because now the way things stand, you have three teams who are tied on 7 points. That is Chelsea, Ajax, as well as Valencia. So this group is quite interesting.
And as usual, it comes down to a Chelsea versus Valencia game in Valencia. That could be a very, very key game for this group.
Yep, very much. So I think the game that Chelsea lost at home, I think
to Valencia,
in the opening round to Valencia, you know, we said then that, you know, it could prove a bit significant, but it still might.
And of course, when will English teams ever learn not to give their fate in the hands of Valencia in Spain?
Well,
in the Champions League,
Vishal's not on the call, so, you know, let's not probably, you know, ruffle a few feathers there.
All right, Karan, now let's get into the meat and the potatoes of this podcast. We of course know that Juventus have qualified for sure for the round of 16, so well done there. But as we know, the real test begins from there for Juventus in chase of that Champions League. But they've looked fairly impressive and effective so far, despite a few hiccups here or there.
Effective, yes. Impressive, no. That's the simple way of putting it. Because they by no means have been at their best. not just in the Champions League, but even in the league. I think Sarri is still not sure which is his best formation and vis-a-vis which is his best playing level. So there's still a lot of work to be done there.
Right. But Karan, we said at the top of the podcast, we would talk about two teams who are desperate for a Champions League title, have not won one in quite a bit, at least by their standards. Both teams, which incidentally are Pep Guardiola's former teams. One of them fired their manager this week. That would be Bayern Munich. The other we talked about in context of that group with Dortmund as well as Inter Milan in it, and that would be Barcelona. Of course, let's not forget Slavia Prague. So, Karan, let's begin with Bayern Munich. They are in fourth position in the league. They are, well, pretty much through in the Champions League, but are there problems showing for Bayern, or do you just consider this something that is a small hiccup along the way?
I think there has been an underlying problem with Bayern, at least in the Champions League over recent seasons, because they seem to kind of, you know, fly through the initial rounds, but the minute they kind of come up against an equally matched or, you know, a top-tier European side, they seem to struggle. I mean, there was a period of time where they just couldn't get past Real Madrid on two to three occasions. Last season, they came up against a quality Liverpool side, and then they were found wanting. They haven't been Barcelona, another team who have kind of, you know, got the better of them a couple of times. Atletico have got the better of them a couple of times. So I think the problem for Bayern is never been getting to the latter stages, but once they get to the latter stages and the minute they start, playing against
non-Arsenal opposition.
Well, yeah, exactly, or non-London opposition, that we could say, North London opposition to be more specific. They found wanting.
Okay, so how would you look at Bayern now, given that they'll be heading into the round of 16 with potentially an interim or a new manager, who could, incidentally, be Arsene Wenger?
Well, it doesn't seem like the a very weird combination, if you ask me, because there were one of the other names that were being floating around that have been floating around after the sacking of the manager was Jose Mourinho, but that just did not make any plausible sense, because you couldn't find two more different phenomena than Bayern Munich and Jose Mourinho. But Arsene Wenger and Bayern Munich, yes, you could see that happen. Simply because we know the history of, you know, how Arsene Wenger likes to play his football, and Bayern Munich are a team that do want to play attractive, aggressive football.
So, and I mean, the old saying goes, right, that if you can't beat them, join them. So surely Wenger should.
pretty much. So that there is a certain amount of irony in that regard as well. But having said that, will the old, or rather the latter Arsenal, Arsene Wenger, show up at Bayern? Because we know that individual can be quite frustrating. But having said that, I don't think he's going to get as much of a free rein. We're still speculating if he's actually going to get the job.
Yeah, exactly. So it may or may not be Wenger, but if it is.
He's not going to get as much of free rein that he can get in Arsenal, because at Bayern, it's a lot more tightly run ship. So that might not be a bad thing, because when there are restrictions placed on him in that regard, it might just bring out the best in him.
All right, and let's finally shift our focus to the other team in this mix, Barcelona, who seem to be struggling in the league, probably a little worse off than Bayern are, and have not really looked up to their best at the Champions League for sure.
True. I think we were just discussing before the pod that this is in many ways uncharted territory for Barcelona, because pretty much year in, year out, by this stage of the competition, Barcelona already through or pretty much almost there to the next round. But they've played four games. They've won two, they've drawn two. Both those draws were nil-nil draws, one of them at home to Slavia Prague. The other two games that they did win were pretty close 2-1 victories. They haven't been the dominant Barcelona that we have come to expect years gone by. I mean, that's been the case for quite a while now. But this season, it just seems that much more glaring than what it has been in the past. And if they're not careful, they could be. They could kind of end up in trouble, because the way the fixtures have spanned out, the 0-0 draw that Barcelona had last night could end up being quite significant, because their last two games are against Dortmund and Inter Milan, and especially the last game is away at the San Siro.
So we know a lot of things can happen there, and the San Siro remains an intimidating place to visit, and given Barcelona's current situation, it might just present them quite the obstacle. It's possible that they might actually end up missing the second round in entirety, although the chances are relatively low, but it could still happen.
True. Or another scenario which we haven't actually yet spoken about is that there is a possibility that Barcelona actually finished second, I have to rack my brain to figure out when was the last time that happened.
Kind of
they could end up facing some really tough opposition in the next round.
All right. We will take a look at Barcelona. They, according to the 538 power ranking model, they're still giving them 69% chance of finishing first in their group, but there is also a 21% chance, which is not insignificant, of finishing second. And amazingly, they are also being given a 9% chance of finishing third in that group, which is exactly the possibility you and I are talking about, Karan. That is also a not insignificant probability.
True. My personal opinion is they'll still go through, simply because Inter Milan have problems of their own. But it's not going to be as straightforward as what we've come to expect in over the last few years.
Okay, we shall see how that pans out. And of course, the most astonishing thing is that it's practically Bayern Munich, it's PSG and it's Juventus who are the certainties for the next round. Everybody else would still be battling for trying to get to the next round still, apart from obviously the teams that have been eliminated, of which there are a few. But Karan, how do you see the second round panning out? Is it likely to be one of those second rounds where we get all the top teams qualifying, but maybe not great games in the second round? Or is it going to be one of those where we have absolute classics across all the ties?
I think we will end up with a couple of big fixtures, at least on paper, because by the looks of it, there is a very, very high possibility, or rather an almost certainty, that Real Madrid are going to finish second in their group. And between the group that we just discussed, Barcelona's group, with Inter, Dortmund and Barcelona, one of those teams are going to be finishing second. So there is a possibility of a pretty feisty clash in the second round there as well. And we still don't know what exactly is going to happen in the group involving Chelsea, Valencia and Ajax. So there's still a lot of probabilities
That group is astonishingly poised in terms of the probabilities too. Chelsea are being given a 50% chance of finishing first, but also a 25% chance of finishing second and third. Ajax, 37% chance of finishing first, almost a 50% chance of finishing second and remaining for finishing third. And Valencia are the most interesting, 13% chance of finishing first, 30% chance of finishing second, and almost 60% chance of finishing third. So that should be a group to watch. And we had mentioned this in our preview, that would be the group of death. It's turned out that way, not surprising.
Pretty much. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of the teams are even tied on goal difference there. And I think Chelsea are ahead on goals scored, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it Ajax who are ahead on goals scored?
I would think it is Chelsea who are ahead on goals scored, because in terms of the goal difference, No, it's actually Ajax have scored more goals.
But they've also conceded that many.
Yeah, I think Chelsea currently lead because of their win at Ajax, which was a 1-0 right. win, if I remember correctly, which puts them ahead on the head-to-head. But again, this head-to-head is very weird because then Chelsea and the Valencia game again becomes absolutely important because then there is this three-way tie that is potentially going to happen.
True. Then I think the best thing to do is just get everybody together and ask them to thumb wrestle each other.
We will see. If it comes down to the thumb wrestling, we will see what happens to Bayern and Barcelona and, of course, all the other teams, including the Soccer Sense teams, which are still in the hunt. Juventus for sure in the second round. Liverpool, of course, we are hoping will make it to the second round. If they don't...
Yeah, they'll make it. They'll make it.
Although the theoretical possibility still remains open. And we'll bring you all of that in the Match Day 5 podcast and the Match Day 6 wrap-up as well as we look forward to the second round of this Champions League. Meanwhile, all the best to your elbow, Karan. Hopefully,
thank you very much.
Hopefully it is going to be fit and fine before the second round rolls around of the Champions League. That's all the time we have for this week. You can find us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. You can find us on any of the podcatching platforms that you use under Soccer Sense. Or you can find us on Audioboom at audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. That's it for this edition of the Champions League special from Soccer Sense. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
Who joined in from Singapore. Oh, Hong Kong.
Then it's not that far off.
See you guys next time.